Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best in your sports talk for Friday, July the 5th. I'm your host, DA, and amidst the NBA free agency merry-go-round, Major League Baseball's All-Star break, NFL camps opening up here soon, we must talk about the most important sporting event of yesterday. The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on America's birthday. We celebrate the most American of gluttony, eating as many hot dogs as humanly possible. And once again, the machine that is Joey Chestnut wins in 2019. Yet another championship. Now, did Chestnut not only win, but go out and party all night like he had won the Stanley Cup? Here is George Shea on the Mac Attack, WFNZ in Charlotte.
After a party or two last night, they are fresh and back at it today doing media.
I love it. So they don't take it easy on their stomachs. They go and do more damage by partying after the hot dog. I like that. I respect that.
I have to be completely discreet, and I'm sure there's a confidentiality agreement somewhere, so I'll speak generally. The eaters in general go out hard after the contest.
Nice. I like that. That's crazy, though, man. Do they ever get, like, does it make them sick, the combination, or they can probably handle it, I guess?
Well, they can handle it. The honest truth is, I think that after a big day like that, they get tired, you know, like you need a nap kind of thing. And then they sort of freshen up and go out. It's funny, there was talk of the party starting at like 11:30 or something like that. And I was going, you know what? Makes me feel like a very old man.
Hey, George, this is T-Bone. Has Bill Russell reached out or put out a statement yet on getting passed in championships by Joey Chestnut?
He has not. We will be watching for that.
I love it. I love, too, just the things like the graphics they put up compared to that you guys put up on the broadcast about compared to Bill Russell and Nadal. I mean, it's all so tongue-in-cheek. Your brother's hilarious with the tongue-in-cheek commentary as well. As far as your intros go, like, they are really hilarious, and our guy Billy DeMarlin here, who works with us, pointed it out, that he doesn't think, you're not looking at any script or anything. Is that completely memorized, or are you almost just winging what you're saying about all these? Like, how are you doing this, man? It's amazing.
No, yeah, they're memorized. You know, I do have a guy in the crowd with, like, a list of the eaters, right? So I think there were 18 men. I would get so amped up, and it has to be done. I got 10 minutes, it's live. You can't mess up, right? So 10 minutes is my limit, and you just got to get it done on ESPN. So I have a guy there with a list of the eaters, and then maybe, like, you know, for instance, Joey's intro, it just said, I know that one anyway, but it says Joey, it just says Joey, Silent Warrior, right? And that starts me off, and I the rest of it's all memorized. But, listen, when you're talking about Joey Chestnut, you know, you're really talking about this sort of epic, grand American poetry, really, is what he is. It's very easy to deliver.
Of course. Why wouldn't it? It's like when we talk about Cam Newton here on Charlotte Sports Talk. You know, you're talking about greatness.
George, you had one yesterday where a guy's bio, and I forget his name and I apologize, he is a marriage counselor / paranormal investigator. I like that guy yesterday.
Yeah, he's, you know, Pablo Martinez of California. He literally, that's what he does, and I always check with my guys, and I go, is that literally what he does? So that's what he does. And but he's actually a terrific guy. 30 hot dogs and buns with Sally at California. But the truth of the matter is that 30 hot dogs and buns in this day and age is just not going to get you where you need to go. In fact, Matt Stoney up toward 50, Jeffrey Esper around 50, and Darren Breeden in that 50 range, and it was nothing, right? They're 20 behind the camp. A little crazy.
Look, when you're an elite athlete like Chestnut, you deserve to be able to enjoy your spoils. Whether it's Kawhi Leonard the night after the NBA Finals, or maybe the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues, drinking out of the Stanley Cup. Perhaps it's the New England Patriots partying well into the night with the Vince Lombardi Trophy, or any other championship team or athlete. You've got to give Joey Chestnut and the other hot dog champions their moment in the sun. And that includes apparently partying into the night with a belly full of 57 hot dogs. Yuck. Okay, so on to baseball. In D.C., we just saw Max Scherzer have one of the great months ever. The Washington Nationals ace in six starts in June went 6-0 with an absolutely ridiculous sub-1 ERA. Think about that. 6-0 with a sub-1 ERA for the Nationals. I can't believe it. Here he is with Grant and Danny after his historic June on 106.7 The Fan in D.C.
Max Scherzer, the ace of the Nationals, on a heater right now, the likes of which we've never seen in this town. And really, in Major League Baseball, there's only a handful of guys over the last several years who could say they've done in a month what Max Scherzer just did in June. Max, you got to be feeling really good. It seems like every time you take the mound right now, it's 7 or 8 innings, you know, one run, 10 to 15 strikeouts. It's amazing to watch. What does it feel like to be going through it?
Thanks for having me on, guys. No, I just feel good. I feel consistent. I feel locked in with all my pitches and mechanics. And so right now I was just working with Zook and just trying to come up with a game plan, just going out there and executing it.
Feels like you guys really are on the same page. I know we talked about this with you and Yan Gomes working together for the first time early on in the season. Feels like you and Kurt Suzuki are sharing a hive mind or something at this point.
Yeah, we're just in rhythm. And kind of how I can kind of describe that is, like, there's times where I'm sitting there and I'm on the mound. I'm kind of thinking, like, oh, this would be the perfect pitch to throw. You know, I hope he puts down this pitch. And sure enough, he puts it down. And so you're just working. I'm not having to shake. We know exactly what we want to throw, how we want to execute the plan, and when we want to kind of deviate from it, and when we want to get creative. And so that's where, you know, now we have kind of a rapport working with each other, what works, what doesn't work, and we're just kind of on the same page.
I could read off all the numbers that are mind-boggling right now, but then the segment would end. But just know you have career bests right now in ERA, ERA+, FIP, strikeouts per nine percentage, strikeout walk percentage, home runs per nine, home run percentage, swinging strike percentage, first pitch strike percentage, ground ball percentage, WAR per game started, and your average fastball velocity is higher than it's ever been before. You're 34 years old. This shouldn't be possible. You're not really a human being. We all know you're from another planet. How are you throwing harder now, 95.0, than you've ever thrown in your career?
Really, I think it is, you know, when I really fixed my posture, I really feel like I straightened myself up to where I was kind of the levels where I was at in, like, 2016. I'm really just staying behind the ball and just been working hard to keep all my leg strength and with endurance and strength. And so I think it's just all coming into one, and I think that's just the reason why we're seeing that.
And it looks like you guys are having a lot more fun. Obviously, winning is more fun than losing. You don't need to be a PhD to figure that out. But just seems like when you guys go to the ballpark, there's a lot more enjoyment out of it, and it's kind of snowballing at this stage. The way you guys are playing ball, is that the sense you have?
Yeah, we got some personality right now. Parr is doing a heck of a job for our clubhouse. He's kind of our team DJ in the clubhouse, and he's found some songs and stuff that gets us all going, and has a lot of fun. I think that's one thing that we're doing better than ever, is that we're really kind of having fun together as a team, really gelling and just playing good baseball. And when it's all kind of feeding each other. You know, you can't have fun unless you're playing good baseball and playing clean baseball. And when we are doing that, we're also having fun at the same time. So it's all kind of feeding each other.
I mean, how can you even put that into words, especially knowing that one of those starts in the middle of that month came after he broke his nose and had a black eye when he tried to lay down a bunt during batting practice and it jumped off the barrel of the bat and into his eye. Just absolutely insane. Scherzer's on a totally different level. Now, elsewhere in baseball, the Houston Astros are seeking their second World Series championship in 3 years. Last year, many observers thought that the Astros were better than the year before when they actually won the World Series, but they couldn't get past the world champion Boston Red Sox, who had an epic season. But this year, the Astros are back at it. And in Houston, they're wondering, with another championship run and the drafting and developing the Astros have done, Is it possible Astros GM Jeff Luhnow is actually en route to maybe the best career ever for a baseball executive? Here's the guys on the Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610 in Houston.
I think Jeff Luhnow is one of the biggest stars, if not the biggest star, in the Astros organization. And this is a team that's full of stars. They have Jose Altuve, who was an MVP. Alex Bregman has entered stardom, was the All-Star MVP last year. George Springer has entered stardom, was the World Series MVP in 2017. They have a former Cy Young winner in Justin Verlander. They have a future Cy Young winner in Gerrit Cole. Yordan Alvarez is here. Carlos Correa, let's not forget about him, despite his injury past in these last two seasons. But Jeff Luhnow, amongst all of those guys, is the biggest star in this organization and is on his way to being the best GM in baseball history.
Did you even mention Yuli Gurriel with all that? I did not mention
Yuli Gurriel.
My man done hit about five walk-offs in the last two games. I mean, damn, what else he got to do?
Yeah, he should have cracked that list as well. The Cuban sensation, Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah, man, fun to watch, man. I'll say it again. I've been to a lot of sporting events in my life, and I'm embarrassed to admit that I've not been to an Astros game this year. But last year, I went to a few games, and I've never sensed the buzz in a stadium of any kind outside of college. College football, there's a buzz in there. Everybody's invested. Everybody's dialed in. Everybody's emotions are involved, invested, and so I'll exclude college football, but other than that, I've never been in a stadium where the buzz is in the air the entire game.
I've been to a good chunk of the Astros playoff games in really their history since the 90s, since the Biggio-Bagwell era, not the 80s. And the most buzz I felt was Game 7 of the ALCS in 2017 when they beat the Yankees, clinched their first trip ever to the World Series.
That's when I was there,
Chief. That was electric. That was the best baseball atmosphere I've ever been in.
That's when I was there. I don't remember which game it was, but it was the Yankees at home.
Yep, pretty good.
Had a great seat over the left field wall. I wasn't sitting in a regular seat. I had a bar table.
Oh, that's good.
With three of my best buddies sitting there. And I'm like, damn, there's a buzz in the air right here. It's a second inning. What the hell's wrong with these people, man?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, somebody hits a bomb, place goes crazy. Yep. Next inning, somebody hits a bomb, place goes crazy. It's just the fact that at any point in time, anybody in the lineup can pop off. It's absolutely beautiful and fun to attend. I didn't mean to get away from
deep
dive into Jeff Luhnow and all this stuff, but I love telling that story, man, because I got a big Cardinals fan that I've done some radio with in the past in Little Rock in Northwest Arkansas. And he travels all over, and he talks extremely high about coming down and visiting Houston. And I remember it was last year, the year before, but one of the 2 years he came down and visited Houston, and he talks about how just rare it is to have that kind of environment in your stadium or in the ballpark every single night. So it's special, man.
And that's
we gotta go sometime, man.
Let's do it.
If somebody out there got some really good tickets out there listening, call us up. I need two really good tickets to the next Astros game.
713-572-4610, by the way.
Give me a buzz. Give me a buzz.
The fact that the Minute Maid Park and the Astros now have that buzz and now have that electricity in their ballpark is actually one reason why, of the many reasons, why Jeff Luhnow's on his way to being the best general manager in baseball history.
The Astros have been amazing, and what they have drafted and developed and continue to do so has been nothing short of phenomenal, but let's slow the roll on the greatest GM ever. This is one moment in time. Right now, a 3 or 4 year period. Let's see a guy do this for 10 or 12 or 15 years. I mean, think about the run that the Atlanta Braves had and John Schuerholz in the 1990s. I mean, that's basically 15 straight years of dominance. Right now, we've got 5 years, and granted, we didn't have the Braves win a bunch of World Series, only one, but we can't put Luhnow in the conversation with the guys that built dynasties like what we saw with the Yankees back in the 90s, or like I was just saying, the Braves of the 1990s as well. We're talking about a small sample size. We got to see it get larger when we start putting Luhnow in the conversation of greatest of all time. As we come into the All-Star break, the San Diego Padres are competitive. They're in the middle of the wild card hunt, but the Dodgers right now own the National League West. Is that enough? Remember, the Padres spent all of that money in the offseason on Manny Machado and wanted to accelerate the process by making sure Fernando Tatis Jr. was up and ready to compete. They've spent money on Eric Hosmer, amongst others. They've got a very healthy payroll, but just being in the middle of the wild card race, is that enough? And for Manny Machado, has he lived up to that monster contract of the offseason? He joined Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 in San Diego.
Who's had more fun, you playing with Fernando Tatis Jr. or Fernando Tatis Jr. playing with you? Because the two of you guys just look like you're having a ball out there the entire time.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's what he brings out every day. I mean, he seems to impress everyone every single day, with whether it's defensively, offensively, on the base paths, whatever it is. I mean, he seems to impress people. So it's been fun to watch. It's what's been the most impressive thing has been watching him develop as a player, grow as a baseball player. Every day, single day, comes in here and he wants to learn. He wants to get better at little things where, you know, guys don't at that age, at 20 years old, I was out here just going out there and having fun and just playing baseball. I wasn't trying to learn. You know, obviously the next year I came in, had, you know, quite a few games under my belt, had playoffs under my belt. So I wanted to learn and get better, obviously. But first year, right out the gate, yeah, coming in here defensively, wants to get better every day, wants to win a Gold Glove. And, you know, I mean, those are things you can't teach. You can't really teach that. So it's you know, I mean, I think we're having fun together. I think, you know, he brings me down, enjoy myself whenever I'm having a bad day, and vice versa. So it's I mean, everyone out there, it's very, like, we have such a great group, and guys don't understand, like, it's just fun to come to the ballpark every day.
Manny Machado joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Manny, you signed a big deal, you come over. How difficult is it not to fall into the trap of trying to prove everybody, this new place that you're at, trying to prove to them that you are worth what you got? Because you see a lot of guys go through it. Obviously, right now, you're as hot as you can be. But was that difficult to try to avoid that?
Honestly, they can't go back now. They already got it already, so it don't matter. You know, I'm just being honest.
Right.
It's no going back. But, I mean, that's just who I am. I love playing the game. You know, I've played this game. I love this game. I die for this game. I die for my teammates. I go out there and I'm leaving it out there for my teammates. And honestly, that's the most important thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's this game is hard. It's 162 games, 600 at-bats.
Did you say that again? This game is what?
Hard.
So this game is really hard.
It's really hard. It's
just
hard.
He makes it look so easy. Right. That's all.
No, it's not. It's not that easy. That's just how I play.
Okay.
But, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. And, you know, that's how I see it. I want to go out there and win every day, single day. And, you know, whether I go 0-for-4, I could do something defensively to help the team.
Right.
I could do something on the base paths to help the team. It's not always about offense. You know, it's a team sport, and, you know, you could win the game in different ways, in different aspects of things. So that's how I see it. I go up there, you're gonna slump. It's just normal. It's just normal. It's part of the game. You're gonna make errors. You know, you're gonna run the bases wrong. You're gonna get screwed up some way or some other. You know, but you could still impact the game in whatever way.
Right.
It doesn't matter. That, you know, those are things you could control. You know, you can't control if, you know, I hit a line drive right at the second baseman. Somebody's standing right there. Or you hit a line drive to right center field, and there's the right fielder's playing in right center field instead of right field.
Right.
You know, those are things you can't control. You know,
nowadays, so the second baseman's playing right center field.
Exactly my point.
Get out of my way out there.
So it's not easy. It's not easy, but, you know. I just try not to fall into that trap, and I just try to go out there and enjoy myself every day, have a smile, and, you know, play the game that I've wanted to play since I was, you know, a baby.
We know that the Padres have one of the best farm systems in baseball, and it'll continue to churn over the next few years. So right now, even if they are not the Dodgers, sure, if they make a wild card slot this year, you've got to chalk it up and say, okay, successful season. But That's the bare minimum here. If the Padres miss the playoffs this year, then I think it's a failure.
I mean, they have paid that much money to Machado and had Fernando Tatis Jr. and have Hosmer and the rest of those veterans. You've got to start winning more than just being in a one-game wild card. So this year, wild card fine. Beyond, they've got to start competing for that division and making waves in the postseason. I got to say, though, when Manny Machado is asked about the pressure about his contract and about living up to it, for him to say, well, they can't take it back now, what's done is done, that's not the most confidence-inducing statement. I mean, you want your star players to not be like, well, they can't take away my contract now.
They can't go back now. They already got it already, so it don't matter. You know, I'm just being honest.
Right.
It's no going back.
Part of the reason that I think a lot of people in Baltimore felt like Machado wasn't worth the deal. To basketball, we still wait to see what happens with Kawhi Leonard. Where will he land? And if he lands in Los Angeles with the Lakers forming a super team, would other veterans file in on minimum contracts looking for a ring? We've got one guy that sounds like he would, Joe Johnson, who joined John Fricke and Hugh Douglas at 92.9 The Game in Atlanta.
What do you make of free agency this year? We had a free agency load that was off the charts like we've never seen before that reshaped the NBA, and we still have one gigantic piece, maybe the biggest piece of the puzzle to go.
I love it, man. I look forward to it. I like seeing these guys teaming up, getting together, because at the end of the day, to win a title, you got to have more than one guy.
That's what I've been saying. And like, for I know,
and for Kawhi in Toronto, I mean, man, they got very, very fortunate. You know, they basically played against a depleted Warriors team. I mean, you look at what happened to two of their best players in Klay and Durant. I mean, if they had Durant, you know, Warriors maybe win. So, I mean, I think to win a title, you got to be fortunate and you got to be a little lucky.
I totally agree with that, man. And all due respect to the old heads that play the game, but the game that you guys are playing nowadays, your legacy is determined by how many championships you get.
Right, right.
And with that being said, Joe, if the Lakers called you today and they had Kawhi and they already got LeBron and they got Anthony Davis, right, you going to the Lakers?
Pew. I definitely go help. But we'll see, man. You know, Kawhi's taking his time.
Can you get in his head? Can you decide?
Yeah. What is he looking for? Is it? It's not the money, because he's gonna get paid.
Obviously, nobody knows what he's thinking, because I keep hearing four and five different, you know, scenarios. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's the only thing we can do. I mean, that he didn't jump at the Lakers right off the bat to go play with AD and LeBron. It makes me wonder a little bit, Joe Johnson, that he says he kind of likes being the guy. He wasn't the guy in San Antonio. He obviously didn't really care for it there, even though he was a finals MVP and won a ring. He goes to Toronto essentially for 1 year. Maybe he just kind of liked the idea of being in Toronto, liked being the idea of being a guy. Maybe he stays there a couple of years until LeBron does retire and then goes back home to L.A. That's what I'm starting to think.
He had no choice to go to Toronto. He got traded there. And fortunately enough, he was able to win a championship, which is – I think, to me, is making this process harder for him.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't win it, then he probably been and signed somewhere. But they won it, so it's like he's a pull and tug, like, dang, do I go back to Toronto or do I?
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what he's kind of facing at this point.
You know, there's a big thing going on right now. Stephen A. Smith is reporting that, you know, Kawhi's going to one place and Jalen Rose is saying that he's going somewhere else.
Right.
My question to you is this. How plugged in are players – like former players to the current players, talking about Jalen Rose and him saying what he said and Stephen A. saying what he said. So how plugged in are our current players to the old player? Well, the other way around.
I think they're very plugged into what they know to where they know what they're talking about. Talking about the former players. Because guys in the league right now, you know, we kind of confide in former players and talk to them and maybe even give them a little bit more information than what we would give, you know, anybody else, because they're more understanding. They've been through the process. They know what we're going through,
mm-hmm,
or what we've been through. So I think, yeah, I think current guys will confide in former players.
Man, if Kawhi ends up with the Lakers and they've got all of that talent, you will see not only guys like Joe Johnson, but many others say, yeah, I'm on board with this. I want to do this. That sounds like fun because they would be such huge favorites to win the NBA Finals. But we're nowhere close to Kawhi Leonard, in my mind, wanting to enter the fray, the circus that is LeBron of the Lakers. And after Magic Johnson runs to his media buddies and tells them everything about the conversations that he had with Kawhi Leonard and his uncle, the Uncle Dennis, I got to think that Kawhi and his camp go, see, that's why that's not a good situation for us. But that's a guy that loves his privacy. That's a guy that loves his trust. He wants people to protect him, and he wants organizations that will support that. I mean, when Magic is going to go tell everybody and blabber about what intimate conversations he had and questions that he answered from Kawhi's camp, I can't imagine Kawhi Leonard feels comfortable with that. Finally, how exciting will the New Orleans Pelicans be? That's a sentence that basically has never been spoken. We've got tonight Zion Williamson going up against the New York Knicks in Summer League action, and tickets to see Zion in Summer League are through the roof. I mean, this is the Pelicans in Summer League. That's how much excitement is around this franchise because of Zion and the trade that they pulled off for Anthony Davis. And just how impressive is the turnaround by David Griffin and company in that front office? Here is Pelicans play-by-play voice Joel Myers, who joined WWL in New Orleans.
Last night on my way home from the gas station, I stopped in, and the attendant would say, it said something to the effect, I can't wait, I'm so excited about the Pelicans, I can't wait to watch the Pelicans play this year. And typically that's a conversation that you hear about the Saints, so it just kind of reaffirmed that. I'm sure you're dealing with similar things as well, Joel.
Not just locally, guys, and not just regionally. And I did love that sign, We the South, on draft night when we're all in Fulton Alley. But we're talking about the direction now, the proper direction of the franchise. And give David Griffin a lot of credit. David has turned things around in a short period of time. Brings in Trajan, brings in Swin, just bright, creative people, exchanging information, sharing ideas, and then making really good decisions. So now you can say the Pels do have a chance. And I when I say the Pels have a chance, the Pels have a chance for sustainable success for a lot of years to come. It's just the beginning, guys.
And that's a narrative that hasn't been able to been pushed around this Pelicans basketball program.
I've seen it firsthand, so have you. And it's kind of a patchwork, what it's been. And I know they were trying their very best in the front office, but they were trying to put people around Anthony Davis. But unfortunately, there was guys that were coming in for a year or two at a time, and we didn't have guys that you could hang your hat on. Now, hopefully, 10, 15 years from now, we're going to have guys that are going to want eventually their jerseys up at the rafters because they've put in the time, they've succeeded at a high level, and then it's going to be suggested by the franchise that all of a sudden now their legacy is going to be remembered forever. So the positives, I could go down a long grocery list, but also what the Pels did in free agency, everything's with a purpose and a plan, and it makes a lot of sense.
Joel, you've had an opportunity to talk to Zion. What's he like?
Well, soft-spoken, real good kid, real humble. And remember this, he's from the South. He's from Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's a natural fit. It's not a guy from the Midwest or from the Northeast. It's a guy that enjoys being in the South. So long-term, and I'm not jumping the gun on anything, but long-term, I think you build around him. And it's going to be a process where it'll take time. There's no question about that. All of a sudden, though, David did accelerate the process a little bit with a couple of vets like J.J. Redick and Derek Favors. But it's going to take time. You can't put pressure on them. That's what they want to avoid. So now you can play him naturally the four because Derek Favors is a five. He was playing out of position, so Gobert could be the five in Salt Lake City. So now you got a legit old-school five and a four, Zion, who can run, rebound, run, take it off the glass. These are really good days for all of us. I can't wait for July 5th just to watch these guys. And then on the 6th, then Nikhil and also Jackson get on the floor because they can't sign their contracts. They're part of the trade with Atlanta, 8-17 overall. They can't play in the opener. They're not legal yet because the trade is the first business day of the NBA year, which is July 6th. So it'll be Zion with the other guys like Frank Jackson on the 5th. And then you can get Nikhil and Jackson on the floor on the 6th.
Man, it is amazing what Griffin was able to extract from the Lakers for AD. And granted, AD is worth it because of the type of player that he is, especially if they win championships and go to the NBA Finals multiple times in Los Angeles, and he's the centerpiece that they build around for the next couple of years. But what the Pelicans have been able to do is take a negative situation and now have people feeling positive about Pelicans basketball. That's no easy feat. And there's a little bit of luck there, obviously, a lot of luck in winning the NBA lottery and getting Zion Williamson. But at the same time, they've done what they could to make it feel like a good situation. That's a pretty amazing compliment to Griffin and company. That'll do it. The best of your sports talk for Friday, July the 5th. We'll see you on Monday, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.